Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Three Under Par podcast. This is a golf podcast where
little white balls suck.
I'm your host, Scotty T, and I'm joined by my co-host in the other box, T-Bone. How are you doing this Monday evening?
Not too bad, baby. Ryder Cup week, USA. We, big week. Gotta bring it.
I mean, this has been years in the making. The Ryder Cup is finally here. 2 years ago, the United States came back and took back the cup. Europe is going to come back with an absolute vengeance. 300 per pod here is ready to break it down. I mean, the fact that the Ryder Cup happens every other year is crazy, but it's awesome. We just want so much more of it. But because it happens every other year, that's why we love it so much. Like the President's Cup, fine, cool, whatever. Still international play. But the Ryder Cup, this, if you're outside of the majors, this is the pinnacle of golf, in my opinion.
Absolutely. I think all of the talks that go on about adding match play tournaments throughout the year, team tournaments, it's all because of the Ryder Cup. It's an awesome tournament. I'm excited for it. It's circled on the calendar every year. And I feel like it's been a hot minute since it's been in Europe. So I'm excited
to make some history. Yes. Is this better than winning a major championship? If, let's say, you secure the winning point for your country or continent in Europe's case to clinch the Ryder Cup, is that bigger than a major championship? And I will point out specifically the Masters, because you can make the argument for other major championships. What do you think?
No, I think I'm putting probably three majors over a Ryder Cup win.
Three majors. See, I might say two. Honestly, yeah. Like if it's above the PGA, you can make the argument for the PGA, I think. I mean,
you read my mind.
I hate to do that to the PGA, but like it is what it is. I'm calling a spade.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm with you. I was just curious what your thoughts were on that. Let us know in the comments below what you think. So T-Bone, quick shout out to our sponsors here before we get going. Drinkabuddy, drinkabuddy.com, promo code 3UNDER. You get 10% off your order. Look, there's no magic bullet to cure hangovers, right? But you take this pill with your last drink of the night, it's going to help curb that sluggish feeling the next day. So take DrinkABuddy, go to DrinkABuddy.com, link in the description below, 10% off your order. It's going to help you make those tea times in the morning, because why, T-Bone and Cheris?
We don't miss tea times.
We don't miss tea times. That is our slogan. Also, go to Chip Golf Co. Again, link in the description below, ChipGolfCo.com. Go support them. Fire gloves, great quality. Designs are awesome. Love them. So Chip Golf Co, promo code 3UNDERPAR, 10% off your order.
You got your USA glove handy?
It's on the bag.
Okay, fair enough. Now.
Yeah, which like it kind of hit me. I was like trying to find a USA hat. I don't know if I have one. I just said it publicly, but I don't have one, but my golf bag has a lot of USA stuff on it. So I'll take that, right?
Yeah, we'll accept it.
Okay. Yeah, I just didn't have time to go down to the trunk to check it out because we're here to record and pod. So, here we go. T-Bone, we're going to start off with some golf gossip. You want to start off with some golf gossip? Going with golf gossip, birdie bogey of the week, and then your preview. Timestamps will be in the video. So, T-Bone, start us off. Some golf gossip. What you got?
Yeah, I think we've got a little – this is a Ryder Cup episode, and I think we're going to keep it on theme with some Ryder Cup golf gossip specifically. I think I've got a little something, you got a little something, so I'll kick it off. But I think the first part of this golf gossip is there's a little bit of drama on the captain's picks. And I think we've been talking about JT for a while. Game hasn't been great, but I think we all kind of agreed that he was deserving of the pick. But a story that came out recently, or a few stories, one was Keegan Bradley. In our last episode, we mentioned that he was, you know, potentially worth a pick. He's played in them before. He actually had a story that the last Ryder Cup he played in, they had, I want to say, champagne ready to go. And he had it in his travel case, and he still has the bottle of champagne in his travel bag in his garage. So it means a lot to Keegan Bradley. And he was on 4PlayPod recently, and he told his background of when he got the call from Zach Johnson, from what he thought was being selected as a captain's pick. And before the call happened, he gets a call from Netflix saying, can we come to your house? Because you're about to get called by Zach Johnson. Quick preview to the upcoming Full Swing on Netflix, which I can't believe they're already bringing that back, but I'm super pumped for that. But anyways, Keegan Bradley got the call from Netflix, knew that Zach Johnson was going to call, and thought, of course, he's going to get on the Ryder Cup team so they can film it. Quite the opposite. They were there to film him to see the heartbreak, and he kind of talked about how devastating it was. So thought that was kind of interesting. And, you know, the captain's picks are always going to be kind of controversial. So that was definitely the main one. And then we had a few live guys, you know, kind of causing a fit. I can't remember if I think DJ said he probably wasn't good enough to be on it, but the guy that it was a little disappointing was Bryson. I think he said he understood why he didn't get picked, but at least wanted to get a call from Zach Johnson. Didn't even get the call. And, you know, maybe from Bryson's perspective, you can give him a little bit of credit. He's won a few LIV golf tournaments, shot 58, whatever. But he made it known that he wished he would have at least gotten a call. You know, I think we're going to – I don't know what you're going to think about it. You know, I think anyone from LIV is going to be hard – is going to be a tough sell, and Brooks was deserving. Bryson, not so much. So
yeah,
that was a little bit of the golf gossip Ryder Cup edition. And I know you got one too. But what do you think about those captain's pick calls, Scotty?
Yeah, I think DJ said something along the lines of, if you would have stayed on the PGA Tour, then you probably would have been on the team this year. Maybe.
Okay, I flipped it. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I think that's right. And then Bryson, he had a lot of words for Zach. I won't read them all here, but essentially, yeah, it would have been nice to have a call. I understand, I get it, but we're nothing different. We're still competing. We're still working super hard to be the best we possibly can be. So, yeah, I mean, you can go look up Bryson's quotes, but they're easy to find. You know, all those guys who jumped to live.
Do you know what?
That was the risk you took.
Do you know what I just remembered that's so fantastic? What's
that?
Taylor Gooch, when I think it was one of the first or second tournaments, he said, was it this is as intense as a Ryder Cup?
Yes, or... and the jackoffs never played him one either.
Oh, man, the four aces. The second annual LIV golf tournament. Yeah.
Yeah. I said the atmosphere was like a Ryder Cup. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's so crazy. Tim.
Hey, Bryson's got a point. The Crushers, you know, he's a team captain of the Crushers. That's hard to turn down, baby.
The fact that you even know the teams, you are like the official now LIV reporter. But I mean, let's not also forget on the flip side, the Europeans. How many of those traditional European absolute killers are not playing this year? Guys like Ian Poulter, Lee Westwood. Granted, they might have been on the way out anyway. But also the captain was originally Henrik Stenson.
Yeah.
He got pulled. He's no longer involved. Luke Donald now is the captain for Team Europe. It's crazy town. And
I think,
you know, I don't feel bad for these guys. No. I don't feel bad for these guys. You knew the risk when you jumped over the LIV. Props to Brooks for like playing his way in, essentially, even though he wasn't an automatic six. He won a major this year. He proved that he still deserved it. Great. But that's the risk that you knew you were taking.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think they probably thought, you know, same with like being able to play on the PGA Tour, that this would work out. It might one day. It worked out for Brooks, but it is sad because I know it means a lot to these guys. And I think even Graham McDowell said, I'm going to watch every single shot of this tournament, even though I'm not going to be able to be there. So it means a lot. It means a lot to these guys. And that's what makes the tournament so great. So
I agree. Well, my quick golf gossip was Wyndham Clark talking about Rory McIlroy. He said, I have the utmost respect for Rory. He's one of the great ambassadors of our game. He's obviously one of the best of all time. He's also one of the best of all time, and he's still going to be that. But I also want to beat him. I also think I'm better than him, and I want to prove that. Hey, your boy. Hey, your boy, go get your boy. You know, I'm like, dude, all due respect, Wyndham, but why did you say that the week of the Ryder Cup? This is like giving. Remember when, like, when The Last Dance came out for with Michael Jordan and the Bulls, and like somebody looked at Jordan the wrong way, and he was like, "That's the motivation I need." Why would you say this to like Rory McIlroy, who has a killer instinct like that? We think, but on oh my gosh, Rory might go 4-0 this week or
we
4.
Just don't need.
Yeah,
we don't need any bulletin board material.
Yes.
I mean, we got enough of the odds. I guess the odds aren't against us, but going to Europe, they're really against us. And I appreciate the confidence, but just save it for after.
Make save it for after.
Yeah.
Go win another major, and then you can say something like that. How about that works? So that's it for a golf gossip. Birdie of the week, bogey of the week, T-Bone, flip it over to you. What you got?
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, new segment, birdie, bogey of the week. So my birdie of the week is badass golf tournaments that are aired in untraditional hours. So we talked about the majors on the West Coast, getting that primetime golf. I also love the British Open. And then the case this week, having those matches go off in the morning, that's going to be awesome. And I do like a Sunday afternoon watching a major or big tournament, but it does kind of suck to like totally just kind of waste the day, and being able to like end the day or start the day with awesome golf, I'm all for. So birdie of the week is non-traditional airing of golf. So
nice. I like that. Do you want to do bogey too, or you want to flip
it? Yeah, I'll do my bogey. I'll do my bogey too. So this could be a hot take. Just full disclosure warning, censored content here. But I was playing out at Gus. You know, you guys heard about that round. I think it was 68. Yeah, that's right.
That's right. Anyway. Hey, I got lunch with Rex, and he confirmed it. He was like gushing over it. He said it was like the best round he's ever seen. He said the most effortless 68 he's ever seen.
Wow. Love to hear that. Love some validation there too.
There you go.
That's great to hear. So Gus has a fantastic halfway house. Very underrated. Kind of not like the best like bar, sports bar environment. It's just kind of a counter, kind of a boring room, but they have a great menu, and specifically their chicken Caesar wrap at the turn. And it made me realize that the hot dog, the glizzy at the turn, is the most overrated food golf snack in the game. I think there's so many better options than the glizzy, and I think the glizzy's way too glamorized. We need to quit glamorizing the glizzies. So
what is the glizzy?
Hot dog. You should know what a glizzy is.
Maybe. We'll talk offline.
Wow.
Maybe. I don't know.
Man, haven't heard of glizzy. Wow. Okay.
Okay. Sorry. I threw Scott for a loop there.
Anyways, the hot dog at the turn is my bogey of the week. I think there's so many better options, and we need to think about other options at the turn. And not put so much emphasis on the hot dog. It's never really done it for me. It's kind of, I eat it if that's my only option. So bogey of the week is the hot dog at the turn.
That's a take. I hope you get crucified for that take, actually.
I think I will.
You need to be crucified probably deserved, for that.
But I think it's kind of overrated. I think we could come up with some other options. Club All sandwich, right. Chicken Caesar wrap. I mean, maybe even like a slice, like you could buy like a dollar slice. Like they have almost like a little CC's, a little corner somewhere.
Like a slice?
I don't know.
Oh my goodness. But then the cheese just like sits, dude. Wait, this is a Ryder Cup episode. We're gonna revisit this a different day. Let us know in the comments below. Send us an email, or email and social media links are linked below in the description as well. So roast T-Bone for this take. Cause I love a hot dog. The hot dog is like the perfect amount of like not too filling, but like just enough pick me up to get me going for that back nine. All right. Well,
I'm more surprised you didn't know what a glizzy was.
Maybe I did. Yeah, I don't know. I'll probably just take the L on this one. If I would have thought about it longer,
I don't know who's going to get crucified more, me or you, on that one. But
I think this whole segment, we're crushing it right now for both sides of us.
Yeah.
So my bogey of the week, I'm going to start off with my bogey, T-Bone. My bogey is Baylor football. Baylor football just getting absolutely destroyed. Ugh, destroyed on Saturday. And it stinks. The whole thing just stinks.
You got room to throw in the Houston Astros?
I mean, the season's not over yet, but the fact that we got swept by the Royals is just absolutely atrocious. Mm-hmm. I mean, what are we doing here, folks?
I shouldn't be wearing this shirt right now.
Yeah, there you go.
But
that was tough, man. I was there. The talent disparity was clearly different. For the first time in a long time, UT looked head and shoulders better than Baylor. Because for the last decade or so, since RG3, we've been really competitive and better than Texas a lot of years. And this year, we just got smoked. Very fitting that Texas killed us before they leave off for the SEC. It was a throwback to the 90s and the 80s when they were just so much better than us.
Is that how you're justifying it?
Very fitting. And it breaks my heart. We couldn't even score a touchdown. So, anyway. My birdie of the week, though, is Lady Golf. Solheim Cup. Solheim Cup was this week. You know, there's a lot of talk going back and forth between, you know, should the Solheim Cup be played on the same venue or course as the Ryder Cup? I actually thought about that for a sec. My gut reaction is no. I think there were some players calling for it. My gut reaction is no, just because the course gets so much play. It's not like a regular tournament, right? You don't have 144 player fields playing for 4 days. I get that. But between all the practice rounds and everything in between, like, that's just a lot of golf to be played for back-to-back weekends that I'm okay with them being separate events for now. But Team Europe comes away with the Solheim Cup for the third straight time. The score was actually tied at 13-13. And so that's the thing about the Ryder Cup as well as the Solheim Cup. You need to beat the other team to win the cup. So the U.S. going into the Ryder Cup this year, we have it. If we end up with a tie, the U.S. retains the cup. You got to beat the other team. That's what happened here at the Solheim Cup. So Team Europe comes away with their third straight win of the Solheim Cup. So shout out to Lady Golf.
Yeah, I think that's a fair take on the venue. Has it always been this close to the Ryder Cup? I don't know if I remember that or not.
Yeah, I don't know.
I do like it the week before. I think it's a nice little teaser into the Ryder Cup. And I mean, anytime there's team golf that's representing your nation, it's going to be good. So I didn't get to watch too much of it, but saw a few bits and pieces there here and there, and it's super entertaining.
It is. Yeah, maybe we'll talk more about that next week or week after, just because we want to focus a bit more on the Ryder Cup at this point. But we do want to give Solheim Cup some love, especially Lexi Thompson. I saw a weird press conference going on with Lexi Thompson, something about that. So but hey, those girls are good. Those women can flat out play some golf, and it's really fun. It's really fun to watch. So that's my birdie for the week.
Nice.
T-Bone, are you ready for some Ryder Cup preview 2023? I'm really excited, man. This is going to be, again, fantastic week. It's been 2 years since last time the Ryder Cup was played. It was played at Hazeltine, I believe, in last year, right? No, I'm sorry. It was played at Whistling Straits 2 years ago. This year is at Marco Simone Golf Country Club in Rome, Italy. It's going to be great, man. I'm really excited. What are some of your initial thoughts and feelings going into the Ryder Cup?
So initial thoughts and feelings are, the entire year we've been doing this podcast, we talked about who's the best golfer, Rory, Rahm, or Scheffler. And I was thinking USA has a better team, but the fact that they have those two horses of the three, that's going to be really valuable.
I agree.
And a few other things I saw, I had known that there's been challenges with the U.S. team going across the pond, but I didn't realize how bad it's been. And I believe it was 1993 was the last win on European soil.
That is correct.
The U.S. team being the favorite, them having two of the top three players and it being in Europe, makes me a little less comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point. T-Bone, how many years has it been since 1993?
No more math. Only reason I'm gonna go with 30 as my final answer, because it's close to the year I was born. So that's the only reason I knew it. But no more math. No more math problems.
That is correct, T-Bone. 1993, 2023. That is 30 years. 30 years.
Yep. Yeah.
That's right. So I carry the zero. 30 years since the United States has won a Ryder Cup on European soil. That is a very long time. There were high hopes 4 years ago, I guess 5 years ago now in 2017, when it was played at Le Golf de National in France. And we got smoked. That was statistically one of the best teams ever assembled on paper, and we got killed. Crazy.
There were some of the best. I will say I'm very invested in this, and it hurts when USA loses, but I remember that Ryder Cup specifically, watching the European team and the fans celebrate almost made it worth losing. It was so fun to watch. But
hey, no, you know who gave up the winning point, the winning match, who it was? It was Phil Mickelson. Phil Mickelson gave up the losing point, and it was like on a par three. I remember he hit it in the water and conceded the hole. So they were celebrating on a tee box, not even on the green, because they won.
That's right. That's right.
Crazy.
It might have been against Molinari.
That's when Molly Wood, Team Molly Wood, was born. Francisco Molinari went, 5-0?
Yeah,
Fleetwood went 4-0-1 or something. It was disgusting.
Alex Noren played good. Yeah, it was wild. So I was kind of thinking about it. So I think the factors that make it so tough to play in Europe is style of golf courses, link style, windy, bad weather. I would say the fans, and then I would say Europeans playing match play more frequently, kind of growing up playing match play more frequently. Of those three factors, which one do you think is the most prevalent this week, we'll say?
So you're saying the weather, the fans, and the style of play, right?
Yeah, weather, golf course, fans, and then, yeah, style of play.
Oh, man, that's a good question. I'm not as familiar with this golf course. I think if it's played in more of a English, Scotland, Ireland type golf course, 100%. That plays a big factor, because that is a true link style golf. And we just don't have that here in the U.S. As I say, that's why I don't like Americans playing in the British Open or to win the British Open, because we're not used to it. Obviously, it happens a lot. But, man, honestly, I don't – can I say combination of all three? I know it's a cop-out answer. I think it's the mental edge, though. I don't know what it is, but Europe just has us in that mental battle. And it's just – it's weird to describe, because – honestly, I think it's just going over to their soil. Look, we haven't done it in 30 years. It's just going over to the soil. When you come to the U.S., all those European players play on the PGA Tour, so they're used to it. They're like, okay, fans are going to be a bit more hostile, but like, all right, who cares, whatever. It's just, we're not used to going over there.
That's a good – I think that's probably more important than anything I said. Mm-hmm. They maybe play a tournament or two, like in – preparation of the Open. Maybe they'll play the Scottish Open or something and then go play the Open and they come home. I think that's a good point. Those guys are playing in the U.S. all year long. They probably played the course. They somewhat understand the fans and the environment. And
all right, think about it. Last year, Whistling Straits, or I'm sorry, 2 years, I keep saying last year, 2 years ago, it was hosted at Whistling Straits. Whistling Straits is hosted the PGA Championship twice, or it's hosted the three PGA championships in the last 20 years. Like, a lot of those guys have played on those golf courses in major championship conditions already. They go to mm-hmm. Hazeltine. They go to, like, it's all the same. It's all the same shit. They're used yeah. to it. Now, because even 4 years ago with the Ryder Cup in France, who was the only American who went over and played in the French Open that year when it was played at Le Golf National? That was Justin Thomas. Justin Thomas was the only American who had a winning record that year, if I'm not mistaken. Because he had played the course, he had seen it. I don't know if any of these guys have played it, or he had played it in tournament conditions. I don't know if these guys have played this course in tournament conditions yet.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, no, it's a good point. I saw it's been on DP World Tour a little bit, so I don't know mm-hmm. how many of those guys have played it, but
I don't know. Yeah. What do you think, Tebow? Out of all those factors, what do you think is the biggest?
I think none of them. I think the one you brought up matters the most. I think, but what comes with that is the fans, honestly. Mm. Like, a lot of these, like, I can't remember who it was. I think, like, Hunter Mahan, like, kind of choked back in the day on European soil. And I think it just gets really nervy and really yeah. uncomfortable. So I kind of think, like, the environment, honestly, like the fans, I think that's a big factor. These mm-hmm. guys never really have people cheering against them. So I think that definitely has something to do with it.
Yeah. So I'm checking last year, or it was last played on European soil. There were three guys who had winning records last time. It was Tony Finau, who did not make the team, Webb Simpson, who did not make the team, and Justin Thomas. Oh, I'm sorry, and Jordan Spieth. Jordan Spieth had a winning record in France as well. But JT went 4-1-0. It's pretty good. You know who was on that 17 team was Tiger Woods. Mm-hmm. Tiger Woods went 0-4, which maybe we need to talk about this too at some point. But Tiger Woods has not had the best Ryder Cup record for the best mm-hmm. golfer of all time, which is very shocking. But I think that plays into that mental edge that Europe has. I don't know what it is. I think, to your point, another big factor is growing up playing match mm-hmm. play. That style of golf is completely different than stroke play. It's more of a mano-e-mano. I'm playing against you versus me playing the course.
Yeah.
It's so different. I can't explain it, but it is so different. It's just mental. It's crazy. And those guys are just absolute killers. Look, Ian Poulter, for all those decades when he was just the U.S. killer, he was average on the PGA Tour. He wasn't even that good. He barely kept his car, or, like, you know, obviously he's going to have to make the team, but, like, I'll consider myself like an above average PGA Tour player.
Yeah.
But for some reason, you put that Ryder Cup logo on him and he just turns into the best golfer of all time.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of these guys are just, especially Europeans, are just mysterious, like how they make this work. And yeah. I think speaking of mysterious, guy we got to talk about, big storyline. Shout out Sammy Slim, loyal listener, is big fan of Mr. Ludvig Åberg, who's making his Ryder Cup debut.
Okay.
Do you think there's any way that this could be, I guess, what advantages could you have going into a Ryder Cup having never played one before, never having played a major before?
Yeah, never having played a major. Look, this guy was in, he was the one who was just in school, right?
Yeah, Tech.
He was at Texas Tech in the spring. Yeah. 4 or 5 months ago, he was in school taking finals. And now he's playing on the biggest stage in the world in team golf. I think what's got going for him is the inexperience. He can be absolutely fearless out there. What does he have to lose? I think that's going to be big for him.
For sure. I kind of think he could be – everyone knows he's good. And I think the idea of having no expectations, other people having no expectations, probably expecting you to play bad, I think he'll probably harness that, and that's going to be pretty good for him.
It's like a 15 or 16 seed in the NCAA tournament. What do they have to lose? They're going to be free flowing, jacking up threes, going, pulling. This guy is going to be trying to pull off shots that he absolutely has no business trying to pull off. And damn it, I'm calling right now, he's going to pull them off. He's going to be making 40 foot bombs. He's going to be pulling shots out of his ass from the trees and the rough. And like, I don't even know. It's just going to happen. It's so predictable.
I feel it. I feel it already.
And I would say that for every European player.
Yeah.
I don't know why. There's just something about it. So, because there's one thing I want to bring up too. Like, so, you know, the Ryder Cup almost got suspended. It almost like they almost stopped it all because it was so lopsided. The United States was dominating so much. But then in 1979, they opened it up. So originally it was US versus GBNI, Great Britain and Ireland. Then they opened it up to all of Europe in 1979. And since then, T-Bone, Europe has won more Ryder Cups than the United States. It is 11-9. That is mind-blowing to me. Because then they open up to guys like Seve and all these great European players. And then that is just passed down through tradition through, you know, Sergio Garcia and John Rahm. Like, just, and that's the Spaniards alone, man. It's crazy. Yep. And then you throw Henrik Stenson and like, oh my gosh, these guys are crazy good.
Yep. Yeah. The it feels like they've almost called it off because it got too lopsided on the European side at this point. But back to – all right, that's enough Europe talk. My back.
Yeah.
Did I freeze?
Okay. Devon, what's that one Ryder Cup that sticks out to you, like, throughout history? Like, there's one for me. I'll just say it right now. It's the 2012 Ryder Cup at Medina.
Yeah.
When the Europeans call it the Miracle at Medina. Just the United States just absolutely blew it.
Yeah.
But then on the flip side, the 99 Ryder Cup comes to mind for me.
Yeah. No, I remember watching the one in 2012. The match specifically was, I think it was Justin Rose against Phil.
Yep.
And he made like a 60-foot bomb or something to like go into 18. I think he pushed or won 18. No, that one was brutal. That was really bad. I remember them saying like it was almost, if not the same, if not bigger of a comeback than 99. So that one was.
I think it was tied for the same.
Yeah.
Wow.
Another storyline back to, let's get some American vibe, USA vibes going.
Yeah.
The mullets this week. We got a few mullets on our hands.
Ooh, yeah.
We got Brooks coming in with the mullet out of nowhere, which is pretty gnarly. And then I'm blanking. Sam Burns.
Yep.
Who's been rocking it, who's been growing it out for a while. And these dudes are, they're bringing some USA vibes to Italy, which I absolutely love. So that's definitely good to see.
I agree. So, Demon, I think you touched on it first, like that Team Europe. I think you said it last week too, they're not as deep, in my opinion, as Team USA, but those top eight players are just absolute studs. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got Rahm, you got McIlroy, Victor Hovland, who just won the FedEx Cup, Matt Fitzpatrick, Tyrrell Hatton, even, throwing Tommy Fleetwood. We're just talking about him, Justin Rose, like those guys. And then the four other ones, I'll say Seb Straka, Shane Lowry, but Shane Lowry's won a major championship. And then Ludvig Åberg and Nikolaj Højgaard. They're from top to bottom. That might be
actually going through that
enough.
That team, they're like way better than I thought.
Yeah. So let's go through Team USA real quick. So Sam Burns, Patrick Cantlay, Wyndham Clark, Ricky Fowler, Brian Harman, Max Homa, Brooks Koepka, Colin Morikawa, Xander Schauffele, Scotty Scheffler, Jordan Spieth, and Justin Thomas. You know, all these are pretty big names, I would say. There are a few, as we mentioned, a couple live guys, DJ and Bryson in particular, who were on those teams for many years, are not there. But it's given some other opportunities to some guys like Brian Harman. Max Homa makes his first Ryder Cup. It's, I believe, right? First Ryder Cup for Homa?
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, or Sam Burns too. You know, Wyndham Clark, you got some guys who are as studs, but, you know, they might not necessarily have that experience that at least Team Europe has. So, T-Bone, what are your initial thoughts on Team USA here? I'm he's
worried.
thinking.
I'm worried about like guys that are maybe a little. I feel like almost like Ricky and JT and maybe even Spieth have like a little added pressure just because they're like really likable. And I wouldn't say there were necessarily better captain's picks out there, but those guys did kind of get picked because they're really likable. And they've all kind of had their
Yeah, locker room
struggles
guys.
for sure. And they've all kind of had their struggles over the last few years. And, you know, when you put it to the test of the Ryder Cup, you never really know what's going to happen. So I don't know
Yeah.
why. When I just heard that list, I was like, man, I love those guys and I'm rooting for them so hard that I feel like it's added pressure for them. That was my initial thoughts when you went through that lineup.
Yeah. I agree. All big names, likable guys. I think it's, they talk about the importance of the locker room. Like, that's one thing Paul Azinger, when he was captain, they brought in the pod system that he got from the military. It's, yeah. They're all good locker room guys. Here are my thoughts whenever I'm looking at this roster here. It's like all names that we recognize, golf fans. Or all golf fans recognize these names. Even if you're not a golf fan, you probably recognize two-thirds of this field, I would say. For some reason, they don't get me that excited. I don't think many of them are playing that good, frankly. I'm sorry, I just don't. Like Jordan Spieth, all these guys can get really hot, but like, where's Wyndham been since he won the US Open? Brian Harman's been around, but like Max Homa, we thought he was going to have a breakout year. He had an up and down season, not the season that we expected him to have. Xander Schauffele, like he'll pop out of nowhere and then disappear for a month. Colin Morikawa, he's been battling some injuries this year. We know about Justin Thomas. Scottie Scheffler is an absolute dude. He's the only one where I'm like, yes, dude, that guy's a stud. He's going to go out and get you some points. Ricky Fowler has played well. Haven't seen his name though in the last 2 months, ever since the US Open. Wyndham Clark, same as I mentioned. Patrick Cantlay, what's that guy up to? I don't know. I think he has the mental fortitude to go out and get you a couple points. Sam Burns, he won the match play this year down in Austin. I think he's been around, but like, not like those European guys. Those European guys are in the mix week in and week out. I don't know about Team USA. They make me very nervous. I'll say they make me very nervous. I mean, am I crazy for thinking that this team is making me nervous? I mean, I don't know. Just going through the list, nothing really gets me too excited.
How many major winners did we have on? I guess we have a pretty good amount of major winners. Morikawa, if you want to even count him,
He's got
that's
three, though. He's got three majors.
does he have two or three?
I thought he had three.
I know he's
I'm going
got
to
a
fact
British
check.
Open and a PGA, but it almost feels like him and Spieth, it's been so long. I don't really know where I'm going with this. No, they make me
He's got
nervous
two
too.
majors. You're right. He's got two majors.
Yep.
Okay.
I mean, I guess
They're just maybe not the from top to bottom, the names we're not used to seeing.
I think when you went to rattled off the European team also, it was like, man, I kind of forgot about Victor too.
Yeah, right? Dude, he's the hottest player on the planet.
I mean, that you could say three out of the four. They have the three out of the four best players in the world right
I
now.
agree. I agree with that wholeheartedly.
So no, I agree. Again, I love these guys on the US team, but it does make me a little nervous. But at the same time, like, what is Shane Lowry gonna do? Like I don't really know, actually. But yeah.
That's a good
It,
point.
I don't know. I don't know what to think, but I don't think it's crazy to be a little nervous about the US team. They are definitely favored, but I don't know, man. Having three out of the top four players in the world, that's pretty solid.
It is. T-Bone, I want to look at one thing real quick here for the Team Europe side of things. Okay, this guy. Holy crap, what happened to him? Do you remember Thorborn Olsen?
Yeah.
Whose name translated to Thunder Bear? I don't know why. I thought that was the craziest thing.
Was this the guy that pissed on the airplane?
Yes. He was the guy who pissed on the airplane.
A previous golf gossip segment. Yeah, good guy.
Correct. Yeah, great guy. So I'm trying to find his Ryder Cup record here because, if I'm not mistaken, he did pretty well in the Ryder Cup in 2018. He went 1-1. I forgot who he beat in his singles match. He beat Jordan Spieth in his singles match. Who is this guy? Thorborn Olsen, who later pissed on an airplane.
It's a plane and was pisser. Like, that's all we know.
And Jordan Spieth in 2018 was still really hot. He had won the major the year before the British Open. Like, this wasn't Jordan Spieth today. That was Jordan Spieth 5 years ago when he was still like that dude. Yeah. I mean, he still is, but like that's when he was still like that dude. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And yeah, man. And he just went out and beat him in singles.
Yeah.
5-4. That's an ass kicking. Like, that's what happens with Team Europe for some reason.
Mm-hmm. For sure. There's always these mysterious dudes, and we don't know really who they are or what they've done, but they'll show up just out of nowhere.
Yeah. Well, side note on Thorborn Olsen, he got charged with sexual assault for being drunk on an aircraft. Got suspended by the European Tour, pending criminal charges. Long story short, December 8th, 2021, he was cleared of all charges by courts in London. So, there you go. That's your update. Well, what happened to that guy?
Good for Thorborn
Olsen. For Thunder Bear. Yeah. So, but like, that's the kind of crap that Team Europe pulls off. And like, kudos to them. They come up and beat us. And it's like, if some no-name guy, sorry, all due respect, is beating the top five player in the world at that point, like, what are we doing here?
Mm-hmm.
And let's not forget, on the flip side, 3 years ago or 2 years ago, who beat the number one player in the world in Jon Rahm in singles? That was Scottie Scheffler. Scottie Scheffler is still relatively unknown, and he went out and beat Jon Rahm. So, look, I don't know. That's match play is a funny thing. Match play is a remarkable thing. That's why we love it. Anybody can get hot and win at a certain point. It just feels like Europe does it more than Team USA.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think the one to kind of end it on a positive note, I do think we have a new generation. The Spieths and JTs, Rickies, they're almost like the veterans now. And having guys like Scotty, Sam Burns, Morikawa,
Homa.
I mean, even Wyndham's a little bit older, but he's new kind of to the scene. These guys are like, yeah. It's not as crazy as the Ludwig scenario, but it is a new Ryder Cup era. And I think there can be a positive to that. They don't have the Rory McIlroy going into a Masters feeling right now. How long has it been? When are we going to do this?
Yeah,
it's fresh to them, and they can end it and make history.
Man, that's a really interesting point. It does. I hadn't thought about it, but now that I am off the top of my head, it does feel like we are entering a new Ryder Cup era, a post-LIV new Ryder Cup era, because as we said, all those guys for the past, call it 15, 20 years, who have been absolute killers for Europe, and some of the even Team USA guys. I mean, let's think about it. Paul Casey, Luke Donald's the captain this year. Sorry. Paul Casey, Henrik Stenson,
Graham McDowell.
Yeah. Lee Westwood, Ian Poulter. Those guys are gone. And on Team USA side, Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, even DJ. Bryson might make another Ryder Cup team later. We'll see. But, I mean, so can DJ. He's still got game. But, yeah, Phil, Tiger, Weber, you know, all those guys,
yeah,
they're out of the picture too. New blood is coming in. And maybe that's part of the reason what makes me nervous is that for Team USA, I'm not used to seeing these names. And even guys we did expect, like a Bryson, is not there. And a guy like Brian Harman is. It's just very interesting. We are in a new era of a Ryder Cup play.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a good change.
You know who also probably should have been on this team in hindsight? Will Zalatoris. Will Zalatoris, he's been hurt this whole year. He had wrist surgery. He probably would have made this team.
Yeah.
It just feels like, I'll just say, it feels like they're, like some of these guys, they're like a Wyndham Clark who's a rookie, but he's 30 years old. I'm like, maybe we've been spoiled for the last 4, 5, 6 years of a Justin Thomas, of guys who are like in their young 20s coming up. Scottie Scheffler 2 years ago. Now all these guys are vets, but still rookies at the same time.
And again, some more U.S. optimism here. I feel like we're forgetting guys. And, like, it's hard to, like, think about a team that it's hard to come up with a team to make. Like, there's too many people. They got Ludvig. That could be great for them, but they got a guy that's never played in a major. So they're a little thin, it feels like. And I feel like we've got a lot of guys and a lot of young guys. So hopefully it serves us well this weekend, many years to come.
You've said it a couple times, and I apologize to the audience here, but I am pessimistic about the Ryder Cup. I just love it so much. I've had my heart broken too many times. And I was so pumped for it last time when I was in France. I was like, we're going to do this. The Golf de National, like, you have all these bombers. That's when Bryson was starting his meathead rage. And then, you know, you're going to pair Brooks and Dustin Johnson. It's like, oh my gosh, these guys together, they're going to be absolute killers. Like, they don't give an F about anything. And then we got smoked.
Yeah, they almost killed each other too.
Yeah, they almost killed each other. Like, all right, then you got Phil, you got Tiger back in the mix. Like, these guys are awesome. And then it's just like, oh my gosh, I don't.
Yeah.
I've had my heart ripped out too many times, especially on Ryder or on European soil. It's just not, it hasn't even been close.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been some tough sledding. But hey, we kicked their ass in the last Ryder Cup. It wasn't even close.
We did.
Let's do it again. Yeah. I think we got some good juju. I'm nervous. I don't really trust him. I'm with you, but I think we have the deeper team. They probably have a few better players, but I think we have the deeper team.
You think? Sorry, they have Victor Hovland, Rory McIlroy, and John Rahm. Those are like the best three players in the world next to Scottie Scheffler. They are so top heavy. And that's the thing.
It's also
too, like,
scary.
You don't have to play all your guys. You don't have you don't have to all your guys don't have to play until Sunday. So theoretically, who's the cap? Luke Donald can sit two or three guys until Sunday. Now he won't, but he theoretically could, and just have your guys go out and get some points.
Yeah. The other thing that's kind of scary I just thought about is, we got Scotty, but I don't know if I want his putter during the Ryder Cup right now.
Stop.
And he was getting a lesson this week from a British golf instructor who's new, he's never worked with, so. Oh boy.
Yeah. Man, maybe we were talking Keegan Bradley earlier when he got snubbed. He has a winning record in the Ryder Cup. That's all I'm saying. He's got I don't really have a strong opinion one way or the other. I'm just still surprised, honestly, that Cameron Young missed the team out of all those guys.
Yeah.
So that'll be quite the scene to see come full swing time. But T-Bone, official prediction, who wins the 2023 Ryder Cup?
I'm going to go USA. I think it's time.
USA.
30 years.
30-year drought.
30 years.
Yeah, carry the one.
Yeah, we're due. I have some concerns, a little nervous here and there, but I'm more comfortable that it's a newer generation. I think these guys are going to play free for the most part. It's going to set the tone for a new U.S. team moving forward. Feeling good about it.
Okay. I agree. So last year, how many points does it take to retain the cup? Is it 15 and a half?
Sounds about right.
I think it's about 15 and a half. So last 2 years ago, U.S. won 19-9. And then in 2018, it was 17.5-10.5. So, and then the year before was 17-11. So, like, it's been pretty lopsided every year. The last one that was really close was 2012. As we said, Medina. Europe had 14.5 to 13.5. So I think if Team USA is going to pull it off, I think they're going to win by 1 point. They just have to. There's not going to be a blowout in Europe to break that 30-year drought. I think Team USA wins 14.5 to 13.5. They win the Ryder Cup for the first time in T-Bone's lifetime ever in Europe.
Wait, wouldn't it be? Oh, no, I'm not doing any more math. Fuck that. Go ahead.
What year were you born?
94.
Yeah, for the first time in your life, literally. Last time it happened, I was 1 year old. So there you go.
Good times.
Yes, T-Bone, I think we get it done. I have to. As an American, red-blooded American in Texas, I'm pulling for Spieth. I'm pulling for Scheffler, in particular, my Texas guys. I think we get it done. Scheffler is going to have a big week. I think Spieth is going to surprise some people. He's going to go out and win a couple points. I think Max Homa, he's going to go out and win a couple points. I think the person I think Max Homa goes 1-1-1. I think the person who's going to be the key to this is going to be Patrick Cantlay. I think Patrick Cantlay is that dog. He don't give an F attitude. His slow play is going to jack with people, and he don't care.
I like this take.
I like Patrick Cantlay to go 3-0-1. I don't think he loses a match this week.
I love that. Is he a guy that celebrates, you think? Or is he just...
No, smooth, I don't think so. I don't even think he smiles.
No, I like
he's smiling
that.
On people his picture on the website, but yeah, man, he's going to jack with people. He's going to be like, oh, sorry, I can't hear you. But like, he probably literally can't hear you, Team Europe. So that's like, that's the kind of guy he is. He's so locked in. Again, his slow play is going to jack with people. And like, I think it's going to be great. Now, I just hope he gets the right partner, especially in foursomes.
Him and Xander. I'll be a good combo. They're boys.
Yeah, that's right.
They were a good boys. Combo. Yeah. No, I like it.
I know. I think if the other guys can just hang on, Scheffler's your dog. I think JT's going to have a big week too, honestly. I think he's going to be the Ian Poulter of Team USA. It doesn't care how he's playing. You put the red, white, and blue on him, he's going to go out and get you 2 or 3 points. I hope Ricky gets it okay. Morikawa does make me a little nervous, but dude, when that guy gets hot, he is unstoppable. Ryan Harmon, just don't have a losing record, please. Same with Sam Burns. And same with Wyndham Clark. Those are the three guys I'm like, just try to have at least get 1 point on the board. If you can get 1 point on the board, Patrick Cantlay, Scottie Scheffler, and Thomas, those are going to be your dogs who get you across the finish line.
I like it. No, I think that's a good strategy. Damage control from those guys. But hey, I could see Brian Harmon being annoying, just getting up and down, making putts, sneaking in a point here and there.
One thing that was great about France was that because the host country can set up the golf course in a way that best suits your players. In 2017, again, we had Bryson, Phil, DJ, Brooks. All those guys were bombers, right? They were bombers. You know, let's just get it to the closest hole. Let's get it to the closest hole we can and hit wedge in. They set up the golf course in France with tight fairways and a long rough to negate those because they had other guys like Molinari who are a little bit shorter but hit fairways. I do like Team USA in this respect, that there are a bunch of different types of players here. You do have your shorter guys like Brian Harmon, but you also got your Brooks Koepkas on the other side. Then you have a good hybrid, I think, of Xander Schauffele and Ricky Fowler. So as long as these guys can hit fairways and make putts, that's all that matters, in my opinion, because I would assume they would set up the golf course the same way as they did in France.
Yeah. No, it's a good balance this year. But I think it's more heavy bombers, which is always good.
I mean, chicks dig the long ball, right, T-Bone?
Of course.
And there are also stats that like, you know, the closer you hit the golf ball, it doesn't matter if you're in the rough, you're more likely to make birdie. I get all that. But there's still an advantage of just ball control in the fairway and make putts. And to your point, guys like Brian Harmon make putts. And even Sam Burns. You know, I know he hasn't necessarily, like I said, he hasn't been around leaderboards as much, But he still did go out and win the match play down in Austin. That mm-hmm. is a huge factor. So he knows how to play in that. So I do like that. And I hope Sam Burns does have a big week.
Yeah. No, I think that's why I got picked.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yep.
T-Bone, I think that about wraps it up for this Ryder Cup preview. We are both on Team USA to come out with the victory. We'll be back next week with the full Ryder Cup breakdown, recap. T-Bone, I want to give the final word to you. What are your final thoughts on the 2023 Ryder Cup?
As much as I want a Ryder Cup or U.S. Ryder Cup win, I almost want just a good match. If I could draw it up perfectly, I think I would have your prediction. I want a close match. I want U.S. to win. I kind of want a dark horse to be kind of the hero that comes out of nowhere. I don't know who that's going to be. And then I'm just looking forward to watching it with a cup of coffee on the couch in the morning.
Yeah, man, I agree. I will be watching it with in class. I'll be watching it in class this weekend, so that'll be fun. But Sunday, I will be watching it live. But I agree. I hope we get a good one. I think it's either going to be a close USA win or a Ryder Cup or a European blowout. That's just what history has proven to us in the last 10 years or so. It's either nail-biting tight or a blowout. And look, again, we've said it a lot. 30 years is a long time. I mean, that 1993 team had, and Team USA had, Lee Jansen, Corey Pavin, Payne Stewart, Paul Azinger, Tom Watson. Oh, he's a captain. Freddie Couples. Like, these are old guys who have not been around for a very long time. It is time, Team USA. Go get it done. I agree. Very excited. It's in Europe. Time change. Be aware of it. Wake up early. Cheer on the United States of America. T-Bone, great episode, man. Really excited for it. It's going to be a great week. T-Bone, tell us about the Paisley House, and we'll get out of here.
Yeah. Paisley House. If you're in Houston, looking for some interior design, renovations, furniture, you name it, go to Paisley House. As for Joni, tell them 300 sent you. She'll help you out.
That's right. We love the Paisley House. Again, go to drinkingbuddy.com. If you're stressed out and watching the Ryder Cup this week, you're going to want some Drinking Buddy to help you feel better. So go to drinkingbuddy.com, promo code 300 for 10% off your order. Go to Chip Golf Co. They have Team USA apparel. Well, not Team USA. Sorry. They have USA apparel on their website. Not official Team USA. Go to the 4Play website. They got some fire gear over there, actually. And yeah. And then if you're in the Hill Country area, Waterloo Turf, go check them out. Go tell Lance that 3 under par sent you. T-Bone, that's all I got. I'm really excited for this week. 2 years in the making, my friend. Let's get it done, Team USA.
Excited.
I'm Scotty T for T-Bone. And remember,
little white ball is life.